Welcome to Parsing the Press, a weekly look at how the news is reported, featuring journalist and novelist Gwen Florio and Montana Public Radio's Sally Mock. Here's Sally.
Well, Gwen is unable to join us this week, but we'll be back next week. And my guest today is University of Montana journalism professor Dennis Swybold. Dennis teaches journalism ethics, among other things, and that's our topic today, especially the ethics surrounding the relationship between journalists and their sources. A White House official, T.J. Ducklow, was forced to resign recently after his romantic relationship with a reporter for Axios, Alexi McCammon, came to light. And it wasn't that relationship that cost him his job, but how he dealt with another reporter who was doing a story about it. But before we get to that, Dennis, let's talk first about the problems that can arise when reporters become personally involved with their sources. It's just generally not a good idea.
I think that's right, Sally. And I think it's generally agreed upon among most journalists. In practical matters, I think that kind of relationship is not unknown, but it's uncommon. In my experience anyway, journalists tend to hang around with journalists and people who are not hang out with people who are not. But it does happen sometimes. We're, you know, human and we meet people and things click. And I've been, as an editor, I've had reporters in that situation and had to deal with it over time. And when it does happen, I think you have to look for, you know, solutions and look for creative ways to sort of work it out. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And I guess I've been fortunate in my career to have situations in which we could find solutions.
So Ducklow and McCammon told their employers about their involvement, and McCammon was taken off the presidential beat. So Dennis, basically they handled it in an ethical way as best they could.
I think so. And, you know, that's the kind of solution that, you know, I was able to come up with and was fortunate to be able to do that. I had a reporter who was covering a justice beat and fell in love, a romantic relationship with one of the people on that beat, and came to me, told me about it, you know, because she knew about the ethical situation she was under. And it was simply a matter of changing beats, which she had recommended in the first place. So it is sort of well known among most reporters that you're just going to get into a situation where people aren't going to believe you. They may think that you're getting favorite treatment from the news source. And in a place like Washington, where access is such a much bigger game than it is in Montana, you know, that can cause jealousies within the group of people who cover that. It can also wonder if people are thrown softballs by people who are trying to make their bosses look good. So, you know, it is an ethical problem, and it's something that people have to watch out for. And I know most editors have had experience with this.
Perception matters as much as reality often. But then what happened that got Ducklow out of his job was a reporter for Politico, Tara Palmieri, was working on a story about their relationship, and in an off-the-record phone call, Ducklow threatened to, quote, destroy her if she published the story. And he went on to make very insulting and demeaning remarks to her, and that's what ultimately got him fired. And I think him losing his job was appropriate in that case, Dennis.
Well, I think that's right. And it was also fitting in light of what, you know, President Biden had said about his own employees and the way they treat people. And there was a moment of time there when Ducklow was initially suspended that a lot of people were sort of asking critical questions about how could that work. And one of my favorite comments was from Eric Wimple of the Washington Post, who's a media critic. And he said, apparently members of the media don't merit the same protections from Biden as his colleagues do. And then there were some difficult questions at a press conference. And the next thing you know, there's another conversation between Ducklow and his boss where some sort of agreement happened and he resigned shortly thereafter. You know, and I think that was the right call, right move. He could have been fired early on. So he got a little bit of a different sort of situation. He wasn't fired on the spot, but it probably was a good lesson for the new press shop.
I don't want to repeat what Ducklow said to the reporter from Politico because it's too awful. But speaking from my own experience, Dennis, and that of other women journalists, I know sources who are upset over a story will berate female reporters in ways they would never use with a male reporter. And in fact, a lot of male reporters in the wake of this incident pointed that out, that even though they've had sources be upset with them about coverage, they've never been treated or spoken to the way the Politico female journalist was spoken to by this White House guy.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And if I even think of my own experience, I've had people mad at me and before, and they've been sometimes very pointed and maybe even profane, but never to the degree where they were disrespectful to the point where Ducklow was to Palmieri. And I don't have personal knowledge of this, but I've talked to lots of reporters who've run afoul of sources, male sources, and have been told that they get a much harsher sort of response than male reporters do. I even follow, you know, sometimes on Twitter and see some of the reaction, not just from the source, but from the public. I mean, the reaction to women reporters who make people angry by just doing their job is much more over the top than it is for male, I would think.
And often of a really disgusting sexual nature, too.
Exactly.
Ducklow's insulting phone call with Palmieri was off the record, Dennis, but it became public when he stepped over the line and threatened her. And is that, you think, the line not to be crossed when an off-the-record conversation is to remain off the record? I mean, it's important if you're agreeing with a source that this conversation is off the record, that it remain off the record. But in this case, it did not. Do you think that was appropriate in this case?
Well, I think it was appropriate, although it is an issue that journalists debate among themselves. I mean, well, I tell people in reporting classes, you know, that if you make a promise to keep this off the record, that you need to keep that promise, because if you get a reputation for going back on that, you may have a hard time talking to sources. But I also know that there are situations in which people will take advantage of that off the record situation to berate a reporter or to try to throw them off a story, or in this case, to insult them, to agree that it would not be acceptable or appropriate in any case. And in this case, I mean, the reporter, Palmieri, didn't release this off-the-record information. She told her editors about it, which is fairly standard procedure in off-the-record conversations. In fact, in some places, it's required. I mean, editors want to know what you're hearing and what you're saying and what sort of promises you're making. It's a check on this thing that can be difficult to deal with sometimes. And so when they decided that there was a threat here to one of their reporters, they felt they had to act. And this is an abuse of the off-the-record privilege, I think. And it's an abuse that means the deal is off. You've changed this from being an informational exchange to being an insulting and harassing and intimidating situation. And you need to be called out for that. And I don't have any problem at all with Politico's editors going to their reporter's defense here.
Lastly, Dennis, the distance between news sources and journalists, it seems to me, is a lot easier to maintain if you live in a city of a million people than if you live in a state that only has a million people. And in other words, and you alluded to this earlier, journalists working in Montana versus D.C. are much more likely to, for example, socialize with their news sources and know them personally. It's tougher in a state with a small population, I think.
I think it is too, especially since sources wear so many different hats too. They know you in context other than as a journalist. They may be your landlord. They may be your insurance agent. They may be somebody that you work with in some other context. So I think it is difficult for journalists to sort of maintain that a little bit of distance. And it's a dance. How do you get close and yet keep people to stay away at the same point? You said perception is a part of it, and I think that's true. If people believe that you're going to be treating someone favorably and can't cover something fairly, then your credibility as a journalist is going to be reduced.
I've been speaking with University of Montana journalism professor Dennis Swybold. Gwen will return next week, and Dennis, thank you so much.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Parsing the Press, a weekly look at how the news is reported, featuring journalist and novelist Gwen Florio and MTPR's Sally Mock.